I can afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today, as always, in the producer chair is Kyle Dotson. Kyle, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you getting over? How are you getting over that that breakup? For our guest, Kyle was he was engaged for about 6 days, and then your girlfriend broke up with you.
A month. Yeah.
Month, and then your girlfriend broke up with you.
Yeah.
And her reason was it's not me, it's you. Is that what she said?
No, she was just like, nah. It's like, I don't know. Right. There was no real reason.
Are we in contact with that person anymore?
A little bit. I'm trying to get that ring back.
Get the ring back, and then go to Facebook and click a thing called block, and then click a thing that says unfriend.
I'm not like mad about it.
And then move on. Well, you know what?
Aren't you having like texting withdrawals or anything?
Yeah.
No.
You're okay with it?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Don't cry.
Don't, come on.
I wrote a book.
You did write
once
a book.
Called The Breakup Diary.
This is this is my guest today. This is Lisa Goich. Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Pat.
Tell us about your book.
A few years ago, I wrote a book called The Breakup Diary. It's a guided journal for people going through breakups. Perhaps I can help you.
How many breakups have you had in your lifetime?
A lot. I've been on the receiving end more than I've been on the giving end.
Why is that? Why are you such a handful that people want to break up with you?
I have no idea.
Are you like a Jennifer Aniston? You're a piece of work. You're hard to... Are you high maintenance?
I must be a piece of work. I am not high maintenance.
You don't seem like you're high maintenance.
No, I'm not at all.
And
I'm not
sometimes
at all
when
high
you say that means like the person does... I don't give a shit about anything. Mm-hmm. But no, you look great. You're always put together.
Ah, oh, sweet. Thank you.
And but how long have you been married now?
Married 13 years. Been with my husband 17 years. He hasn't dumped me yet.
No, and he's not going to.
No, he's too tired. He's too lazy.
He's too tired to dump me. And are you just Lisa Goich, or do you go the three? Do you go
Lisa
the married
Goich
name?
Goich Andriatis.
Andriatis.
No, I go Lisa Goich a lot. Yeah.
Not Andriatis. That's a hell of a name to say.
It is. I really was hoping for a Smith or something when I married him.
Lisa Goich Smith is the way to go. But I'm just going to call you Lisa Goich.
Lisa Goich. That's perfect. That's me.
Now, Lisa, I want to tell a little bit about you, a little bit about how I know you. And I also want to say, You're one of the good things about Facebook, and here's why I say that.
Oh, jeez.
I think I met you about 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And how long have you been in Southern California?
18 years.
18 years.
This month.
This month.
Yeah.
I've been here 20 years. It'll be 20 years in February.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're. I consider you my friend, but we never see each other.
No,
we don't hang out.
No.
And yet I feel like I know everything that's happening in your life because of Facebook.
I am. Like if someone said, biggest open book on the planet.
But if someone said, hey, when's the last time you saw Lisa Goich? I would be like, 2 weeks ago. But really, it's been like years and years and years.
I saw her this morning after her gynecologist appointment.
But I know that we've both had colonoscopies.
We had that. Each had a colonoscopy.
I know that from Facebook.
I've had one too.
You've had one too? Yeah.
Really?
You had to drink that stuff.
You're just a youngster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle's 74 years old. Why did you have to have a colonoscopy?
It was after the breakup.
He just did it.
He just did it
because he wanted to compare pain.
As part of it, a little experimenting.
Yeah, I just wanted some, companionship.
All right.
I had like some stomach stuff, and then they looked down and they're like, we don't know. Or they looked up and they were like, we don't know.
The procedure's a piece of cake.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But
you
the night
even
before, you have to drink a gallon of crud. You don't like water, you just told
me. I don't
me.
Like water, no.
How could
and
you drink a
I
gallon?
I thought I was going to die, and I'm not kidding you. I was ready to go to the ER just to check myself and to say, I can't drink this stuff.
Was Teddy around while you were drinking the stuff?
Or
did he make himself scarce?
Yeah, and it wasn't even the second half of drinking the stuff that's the problem to me. You know, it was the actual drinking, and it's thick, and it's gross.
Thick, it's gross. And they go, what flavor would you want? It's no flavor.
There's no flavor. It's like...
It just tastes like, no matter what you... It just tastes medicine.
Salty, soury grossness.
It's like they took a gallon of water and put a teaspoon of milk and a little and some salt in it, and there's mm-hmm. and then cherry. There's no cherry.
Oh, there's no cherry. No, there was not. You close your nose. You don't even drink.
Like, I don't even think I got a flavor. I just they just gave me whatever.
I didn't think I could get through it. Mm-hmm. Drinking it, but you have to because you have the procedure the next day. You have to do it.
And I'm an overachiever, and I don't know about you, but I wanted everything clean because I did not want to walk in there and be that one person that had something wrong. I'm like, I'm going to have the best colon ever.
And
it was pretty good.
Could you say, let's put pictures up of our colons. okay. So anyway, here's what I remember. This is when I remember meeting you. I was on the Crack Me Up tour with John Heffron.
Oh, I know.
And I guess Joel.
Speaking of breakups.
Joel Zimmer, you broke up with Joel Zimmer?
No, he broke up with me.
You know what?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know what? I think that was a good thing.
Better end of the deal, I guess.
But I remember we were in Michigan for some, maybe a stopover or something. I know we met you somewhere, and I remember we were driving somewhere, and I said, I'm going to drive with Lisa because, first of all, I'm tired of driving with you guys, and second, Lisa's cuter.
Nah.
So, and I think in that car is when you told me of your love of Alice Cooper. I think because music seems like a place to start.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah.
And now you've always liked Alice Cooper.
Well, since I went from, you know, Bobby Sherman mm-hmm. to Donny Osmond, mm-hmm. David Cassidy, sort of in that same thing.
Yeah.
I think I went straight from Donny Osmond to Alice Cooper. It was literally like I moved, changed houses. Mm-hmm. I tore every poster down off my wall from Donny Osmond. Yeah. Couldn't be sweeter. Slapped up Alice Cooper. My mom about had a heart attack.
Well, because Alice Cooper, he's not a cute guy.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, no. He can, in the traditional sense, not cute.
You can clean him up, and he can look. Yeah. Oh, Alice looks pretty good. Yeah. But he's not like in the realm of a Donny Osmond.
Oh no, no. And I was young. I was maybe 10. I mean, imagine.
Yeah, you're what? Your parents are worried.
Yeah, because I don't, and it's because I had this very fast girlfriend, Janet Lanzon.
Oh, I wish I could have met her when we were in Michigan.
she was one of 14 children.
Okay.
And she was second from youngest.
Sounds like her mom was a little bit fast.
Yes.
So she was the second.
I'll have to block her on Facebook when this thing.
She was the second. Okay, no. Where did she fall in the 14?
She was second from youngest, so she had, what would that be, 12 siblings older than she was.
So her parents aren't even keeping tabs on her at all.
Yeah, no. So she, you know, she did everything. She smoked the pot. She did the stuff. She was mean, kind of. She used to beat me up, sort of. And
where is she now?
She's in Detroit.
And how's she doing now?
I can't quite tell. I guess she's doing okay.
All right. She's still fast.
She hasn't met Alice Cooper. God. I have.
Now I know you have. Now we're going to get to that too. But keep going.
So she loved Alice Cooper because like she had older siblings that were in, you know, like fans.
Yeah.
And so because Janet liked him, I started listening to him, and then I felt I should like him. But then I really started liking him.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because of Janet, because I was trying to please her. as my friend, so she wouldn't beat me up.
My Pilar has many friends of the same ilk as you do when she was growing up. People that were mean to her, but she didn't know why she still stayed friends with them and all that kind of stuff.
And look at, and Pilar's done pretty well in her life.
So
see what happens?
Not to sound sexist, but that's like a girl thing.
It might be a girl thing, maybe.
It might be. Maybe boys aren't the same. I had a girl once, this girl, Cheryl, she just passed away last year, mm-hmm. and I saw it on Facebook. And I went, you know,
you were okay with her going on to the great beyond?
I'm sorry to say that, but she once put me in a barrel. This, like those, you know, those cardboard barrels that like are industrial. What they might put screws or something in them. I don't know. She put me in this cardboard barrel and put dog poop in the barrel.
Oh my God.
And she and Wendy Wadika, my other friend who was not very nice to me.
The names always get better. Yes. Wadika.
Wendy Wadika put the lid on the top and they rolled me down the driveway into the street in the barrel full of dog poop. Yeah. Yeah.
That woman lived too long, as far as I'm concerned.
See?
That's terrible.
Well, I understand Wadika, she had to establish dominance or else she's going to get made fun of a
lot. That's true, because of that name. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me touch on some more Lisa Goich things. I moved here. I arrived in L.A. on February 16th of 1995. The last stand-up show I did in Chicago was with you mm-hmm. on February 14th, 1995. We were at Zany's, and you were doing that. What was the name of that show you did? It was a male-female show?
Oh, yeah, with Kevin Kramus.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it, and you ask if I would do it. And I go, all right.
I forget the name. It was a... It was like a he said, she said show, but wasn't it. It was the, I can't think of it now. But anyway, it was a show about couples, the love.
And we did it on
something.
We did it on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
1995.
And it was a good show.
It was a good show. And then I left the club. Mm-hmm. I went to my friend's house, packed up my stuff, and drove to Los Angeles.
No way.
Yeah, so that was like the last.
Oh, my goodness.
The last. And then you followed me here 2 years later.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Well, wait, 2 years. So you said 95?
95 I got here.
When I think I have my number wrong. 96.
96, okay.
So how long have I been here? 19 years almost.
19, yeah. It'll be 19 for you, 20 for me.
Whoa, I didn't realize I was here that long.
Crazy. Since you've been here, you've had some really cool jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Were you Carole King's personal assistant or just worked in the office?
Not personal assistant. I was gal Monday through Friday. I did everything. I did her social networking. Mm-hmm. I did all of the research for her website when mm-hmm. they first did the big Carole King website. So I went through all of her archives and discography and everything, and I got to sort of research all that. Then I would do things like, filing and whatever, scanning.
And was that the connection? Is that how you met Teddy? I don't know how you met.
No, I met Carole through Teddy.
You met Carole through Teddy.
Yes, I was working.
Teddy was her touring keyboard player.
Yes, okay. Teddy was Carole King's touring keyboard player. And I met Teddy while I was working at KLSX on air. It was talk at the time. It was called Real Radio.
And who did he come in with?
He didn't come in with anybody. Okay. We were doing the Howard Stern movie premiere for Private Parts.
Okay.
And we did the LA, what do you call it, premiere.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to introduce Slash's Blues Ball, which was the band that Teddy was the lead singer in, my partner and I. I did not know this. My partner was sort of trying to jack me out of my job all the time because he didn't want a partner.
Yeah.
And so he purposely didn't tell me that I had to be there early and that we had to introduce this band. So here I am with Sean Kanan. Do you know Sean Kanan from General Hospital?
No.
He was kind of hot. He was my date, I guess.
All right.
And here we are. We're dilly-dallying. We go to dinner, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Come to the thing. And my boss starts yelling at me, you were supposed to introduce this man. You were supposed to be here. Whatever. So after the show is over, my partner, JD, comes up to me and he said, the band wants to meet you. They listen to our show all the time and come downstairs. So I was talking to Kate O'Kalin at the time. I'm only dropping that name because it's just such a funny reference.
No, you have to drop these names. It's
I mean, that's just a funny reference.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Kate O'Kalin. I'm like, excuse me, Kato, I'll be right back. Gotta go meet the band. So I go to meet the band. Oh, here's how dumb I was. I thought, the band's called Slash's Blues Ball. I'm thinking that means Slash is the lead singer of the band.
Well, I would think that too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's
fine.
So
I'm watching the band the whole night thinking the guy that's singing is Slash.
Is Slash, but it's not.
Yeah, no. So this guy's like, oh my God, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. I'm like, hey, thanks, Slash. He's like, oh, I'm not Slash, I'm Teddy. And so I thought my now husband was Slash.
Yeah.
And so he thought that was kind of endearing that I had absolutely no clue.
Sometimes at night, do you still think he's Slash?
I'd like to pretend.
Pretend like he's Slash.
Yeah. Okay. I just put on that hat. Just
so
put it on.
How dejected was he when you said, hi, Slash?
He didn't care.
He didn't care.
No, he thought it was cute because I was the only person there that wasn't like, Slash.
I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Everybody else was like going for Slash. And here I am going for Teddy thinking he was Slash. But anyway, so we talked to the band and then we ended up having them in the next day on our show as guests. And we all went out afterwards for drinks or something down the street. And then Teddy sort of asked me out. He's like, hey, how about I bring you breakfast this weekend? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so romantic. Whoever does that? Nobody ever does that, right? Brings you breakfast, whatever. So it's, Wednesday comes, I hear nothing. Thursday, I hear nothing. Friday, I hear nothing. Saturday, Sunday, nothing. Monday, I get to the station. I'm pissed. And I'm like,
why don't I bring you breakfast?
Yeah. Nothing. And I hear nothing from him. And so we get on the air and our first topic is, why do guys say they're going to do something and then they just flake? I'm over it. I'm totally over it. So
did you drop his name?
Oh yeah. I told the whole story there.
That's fantastic.
So all of a sudden, Nicole, our screener, is pounding on the glass, right? She's pounding on the glass and she's like, he's on the phone. He's on the phone. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
You said, hi,
first caller. So our first caller, look at it, Slash on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. So our first caller was him saying, oh my goodness, I totally forgot. And I had to go to Santa Barbara or whatever. And he's like, will you let me make it up to you? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's ask the callers.
Good for you.
So my second date, well, my first date really was caller driven.
Caller's choice.
Yeah, it was caller's choice. Should I go out with them or should I not? And yes won.
What was the percentage? So, what was the percentage of yeses?
It was about, it was close because many people said, no, forget him. You know, move
He's not
on.
Worth it. He's not worth it
if he's going to forget that.
I don't want to talk about too much about Teddy because Murray and I both want to have Teddy on this show.
Oh yeah, that's
fine.
Get
the Teddy story, but I do want to say, cut to you start dating Teddy. You guys eventually get married, and then years into the relationship, right? He gets the call to go on tour with
Alice Cooper.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I about die
because now you know Alice Cooper.
Right. And I'm the one, by the way, who had to feed Teddy all of the music, had to tell him what the songs were, had to make sure he was playing them correctly.
Had to tell him to stop wearing that black eye makeup because that's what Alice did. You can't bring your snake on stage, Teddy. This is what Alice does. Teddy, you can't cut your head off and hang yourself.
Can't do it anymore. So I was sort of his mentor when he started working with Alice, and I was so excited. You know, I had met Alice once in my life.
Right.
At a radio station thing in Detroit. And that was like so exciting. I could barely even believe I met him. Right. Like it was, I remember driving home that day, just like, I don't know. Have you ever done something like that? Like something so cool. And then you're in your car afterwards and you're just smiling and you're so happy and you can't believe your luck.
And I can tell you what it was, but first biggest guests I had on this show was Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, cool.
And
right.
And on the drive home after that, my face was hurting. I was smiling like the Joker. I was just like,
yes.
And I just had to call everyone. Melissa Etheridge just did our show and she was so cool and she was so nice and she talked for 90 minutes. It was just, it feels really cool.
Yes.
So
same
that's how
thing.
You felt.
That's how I felt. I couldn't stop smiling. And I'm like, I cannot believe any. He like took the picture with me where he was like choking me. And that was at the time when you had to like go develop your pictures.
Right.
So I immediately like take a 1,000 other pictures so I could just waste the film. And take it to the drugstore. And I'm like, now get this in the 2 hours. I need it now. And so, you know, I couldn't even believe my luck. Well, then, you know, I'd gone to some concerts in between then, but I'd never met him or anything. And so then Teddy starts playing with him. And suddenly I'm going to like rehearsals. And then there's Alice Cooper. And I'm trying really hard to be cool and fanning myself. Right. And, oh, yeah, hi. You know, I like your music. It's good. You know, and then finally I had to fess up to him. I said, you know, I met you once at a radio station and I brought my giant package of
everything, crap
to sign. And, here's how much I liked Alice. When I was a kid, you know, 10-ish, whatever, I saw my first, Alice Cooper concert, Welcome to My Nightmare. School's Out was my first concert. Because it was in 1972, I was 10.
And who took you to that?
My cousin Linny.
Okay.
She took me and, she was like an older, cool cousin and, you know, she smoked pot and stuff too or whatever.
Did she smoke pot at the concert with you?
I think she was because I smelled the stuff, but I didn't know really what it was.
Right.
And, I remember smelling that smell and she really had fun. And,
That were the times when, people didn't really care about kids.
No, they didn't really care. I know that my mom sent me off with cousin Linny to go to a concert to see Alice Cooper of all things.
Right.
So, I saw that concert and I was, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'd never been to a concert and it was just the coolest thing ever. And I remembered cause he didn't sing the songs the same. That was, you know, he was kind of in his drunk stage then. And I didn't know from drunk. What did I know?
Right.
And
you don't know that Linny's hitting the pipe. next to you.
I didn't know that either. So I remember I'm singing along with the songs and they weren't the same words. And I'm like, why aren't these the same words like that he sings on the album? And he'd like sort of start fading out and like, not really. He wasn't like,
they didn't have teleprompters back then to keep these guys on track.
No, they didn't. So it was a little weird in that sense. Anyway, so the Detroit Free Press or News, the Detroit News wrote a piece about him in their Sunday, you know, the magazine section thing. And it was mean. It was like a mean review of the show. And it was really, and it called him no good, rotten and crude, something like that. And I, Lisa Goich, the budding journalist, decided to write my first letter to the editor.
Rebuttal.
Yeah. And, you know, slamming this writer and saying, I saw the show and it was great. And Alice Cooper something about, you know, you called him no good, rotten and crude, which I'm sure he isn't. Those were my words. And I tried to find that thing for here and I could not find it, which pains me because it was, I had it in my memory box for the longest time.
Well, if you find it before the show posts, you can put it on our Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure I put it somewhere safe, mm-hmm. and now I don't know where that safe place is. Right. And so it could be lost forever. Anyway, so cut to like 2 years later now I'm budding. I'm preteen, mm-hmm. and, it's the, welcome. It's about 3 years later. It's the Welcome to My Nightmare tour. And now I'm like crushing on Alice Cooper. Now it's beyond like, I like his music. Now I'm finding him hot. I know, whatever. just don't judge. So, I go to his concert and I find out that his dancer in the show, mm-hmm. is this woman, Cheryl Goddard, who's a ballerina, right? And I took ballet at the time. I'm like, oh, I never imagined that you could be a ballerina
in a rock show
and dance in an Alice Cooper show. Right. Like, how cool would that be? I was so jealous of this girl's gig, right? And then like in 17 magazine or 16 magazine or whatever, you know, there were all these, things that there was an article about her. Then the Detroit Free Press ran an article, mm-hmm. about her, that he started dating her. And there was a picture of them. I still have it like a stalker. There's a picture of them like sitting at some softball game, uh-huh. and they're like sitting, he loved to play softball.
Yeah.
And they used to have some sort of team for his Carlos and, Chili's at the Carlos and something, Carlos and Chili's. It was a restaurant that he was like part owner, okay. of back in the day. And I think it was in Acapulco. Anyway, so they had a team, and here she is sitting on the thing with him, and she was like, you know, older than, mm-hmm. me at the time. Yeah. I was only 13. She was probably 18 or 19. Right. I don't know. And I was, oh man, now she's like going out with him, and she takes the ballet, and I was so jealous of this woman. Then I find out they're getting married. Oh, it's over, right?
Yeah,
I'll never have him again. Cut to now a million years later.
You're still married.
I know. Yeah, yeah. First of all, they're still married.
So there's still no shot for you.
No, cut to a million years later. I meet Cheryl for the first time. Like, meet her. Like, yeah. You know, we're all at dinner or something,
right,
somewhere.
Right.
And I'm still looking at her with that seething jealousy.
You're so pissed off at this woman. She stole your man.
And she is the sweetest, mm-hmm. kindest, nicest. They're like born-again Christians. Mm-hmm. Her father was a pastor. I know everything about her, by the way, when I meet her, which is creepy enough.
Have you ever told her these stories?
I finally told her the story. I'm like, this is going to sound really strange, Cheryl, but I know everything about you and I know it's weird, but, you know, as a kid, I was quite jealous, uh-huh. of you, and, you know, now we're friends and she likes me and it's weird. It's weird that we're all friends, but.
And now you're friends with Calico.
Oh yeah, Calico Cooper.
She's now in Alice's show. She's still in the show.
Yeah, she's. You gotta have Calico Cooper in here one day.
Well, we're already covering all our old man stuff.
I know. Well, you might have to do an adjunct show.
Could she just come in and dance around while we record?
Yeah, we could do that right now. So, I should have thought about that beforehand.
So Lisa's taking me to Alice Cooper shows. Mm-hmm. Lisa, we saw him at the House of Blues, which was one of my favorite times seeing him.
Because that was an intimate show.
That was an intimate show. And he did that crazy effect where all these clowns came out and wrapped him up in a bag. And then they all left. And this guy's in the bag. And then this other clown comes out and he takes his clown head off. And that was Alice. And I was like, I'm really close. I don't know how they did that. That was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And then he
likes those kind of tricks.
And I think you got me tickets, me and Jimmy tickets to see him at Universal Amphitheater too, with the Knack and the Donnas.
Oh yeah.
And then you took us backstage,
yes.
at that show.
Yes.
And Lisa helped me get Lita Ford on this show. She helped me track down Elliot Easton for the show. Lisa's Rolodex on music is crazy. But I don't reach out too much because then I feel like, well, I'm.
Well, you can reach out.
I know, but I, since we don't really hang out, it's not like if it was Murray, I'd be like, hey, get this guy.
Give me
tell
that
him
number.
Right now. But what was the coolest thing was a couple weeks ago, you were at a barbecue. And I saw these pictures.
And only you would have.
Yeah, I saw these pictures and I'm like, and I see this one guy in this picture and I'm like, that's Mike Campbell,
yeah.
from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
So I messaged you and I said, were you at a barbecue with Mike Campbell? And what did you tell me?
Yeah, I had no idea who he was.
And you talked to him about dogs.
I talked to him about
dogs for like three hours.
I had no idea. I thought it was just one of these like guys that might need some work that was just like hanging out at the pool.
You thought he was Slash, I think, is what... But yeah, I was like, what the, that's crazy.
I didn't know. And then my friend whose husband is a guitar tech for Neil Schon right now, but he was Slash's guitar tech for a million years. She's like a big guitarist fan. And so we're talking about something. I don't know. I'm done. We're done. You know, Mike and I are done talking about the dog thing. I seriously thought he was like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of musicians there, and there's some who don't work at all. And then there's some who do work a little bit.
There's Mike Campbell, who doesn't stop working.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't know that. I threw him in the pile with all the rest of them. And then Jennifer, my friend, was like, do you even realize, do you know who that is? And she goes, I can't even believe that he's here. I go, who? She goes, that's Mike Campbell. And I'm like, she's like, you know, all the parts for this. She starts singing, and I'm like, oh, I still don't quite know. But then, of course, I went home, and I'm like on YouTube trying to figure out who he is. But he's like really big.
if it's Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, he's the Joe Perry to Tom Petty's. I mean, even on Tom Petty solo albums, Mike Campbell plays on all his albums. I mean, him and Tom are connected at the hip.
They are the team.
They're the team.
I did not know that.
They're Lennon and McCartney of the Heartbreakers.
They are Lennon and McCartney.
So funny that you did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. There's been a lot of those, though. I've had many of those in my life. I just don't know. Some people I know, some people I don't know. Maybe that makes it better.
Well, that's how you met your husband.
I'm never a fan.
You're never a fan.
Except for Alice Cooper. I was a fan. I've met some other people. I have to try to think.
It's too crazy how many. It's like, I think the last time I actually saw you was at the Carole King Walk of Fame ceremony when she was getting her star.
Oh yeah.
Because I had my Tapestry album there to get signed, and then of course there's dickheads that have like 9 and 10 albums with
her. Oh yeah,
and they, you know. Like part of says, yeah, you're one of those guys. I go, no, I'm not one of those guys. I just want to get this signed.
But see, I could do that for you. You know, I could have done that for you on the side.
Right.
You know,
maybe I still have you do that. But
in that day, though, I was trying to avoid bothering her because I know she was so overwhelmed.
And I would have never said, hey, slip that up there. I would have never done that.
I don't even know if I said hi to her that day because she had so much on her head.
The whole family, all the daughters, the son, everyone was there.
Everybody was there.
Carol Bayer Sager was there with her crazy plastic surgery.
That's a lot going on.
And what about who's the girl from Wicked?
Oh, Kristen Chenoweth. She did the
skinniest person I've ever seen in my life.
She is tiny, and she's got a lot going on in the plastic surgery zone.
Her jawline, she's like a skeleton.
She looks like a cartoon.
She does look really strange, and she sounds like a cartoon.
Yeah. They should do a Kristen Chenoweth cartoon.
Yeah, they should.
It's like an animated reality show.
Yeah,
Lou Adler was there who produced Tapestry.
Lou Adler was there.
And I was waiting so much for Carol. He just kind of walked away. No one even, and I'm like, I should have got him to sign this too.
Yeah, that Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann were there.
See, I don't know what they look like.
Yeah, they're the other Brill Building writers. And I think one of the, who didn't die, Lieber and Stoller, one of the two were there. The one that didn't die, I think Jerry Lieber died. But... you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
What's up? What are you looking at?
I was thinking we should play some music.
Okay, we're getting into it.
Oh yeah. So Jerry Lieber died.
Without music, is that why you're saying that?
Yeah, it's almost 30 minutes.
Okay. Oh. Well, Lisa's entertaining.
No, it's fine.
She did radio.
I don't
know how much time we have.
All right. Well, I'm going to say for me, Alice Cooper, the first time I heard him was I just bought the Alice Cooper Greatest Hits album when I started collecting albums. I didn't know a lot about artists, so I got like the Eagles Greatest Hits, I had Fleetwood Mac Rumors, and that was one of the first albums I bought, and that's when Greatest Hits albums were truly greatest hits albums.
Yeah,
like you listen to that, you're like, oh, I know all these songs.
Every single song you knew.
And then from there, I just started to seek out the individual albums and move forward and then go backward. And so we had a ton of music to play. I have 50 songs queued up. I don't know how many we'll get to. Lisa gave me her list. I threw in some songs. I know there's a lost period of Lisa when she's not into the Alice.
Let's say that was 83, 86. I was in the, I Love the Breakfast Club.
The John Hughes music soundtracks
at that point. I think I went somewhere and I went wrong there.
So let's hear a song from the debut Alice Cooper album. And this is when Alice Cooper wasn't a person. Alice Cooper was a band.
Right.
And the members of that band were, who are they? Glenn Buxton.
Dennis Dunaway.
Dennis Dunaway. Michael Bruce.
Michael Bruce.
And Neil Smith.
And Neil Smith, right.
Yeah, so this is the Alice Cooper band from the album Pretty's for You. It was on Frank Zappa's label. And this is, and by the way, people, Alice Cooper has 26 solo albums.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Not solo albums, I mean 26 albums.
Albums, right.
Okay.
So and you may recognize this song, by the way. People may recognize this.
As another song.
As another song.
But let's hear it. This song is called Reflected from Pretty's for You.
Look up, standing with your head held high. You will be reflected. You look out, standing with your eyes in disguise.
A couple of years later, Lisa, that song gets rewritten and becomes a song called
Elected.
And that was on the Love It to Death album from 1971.
And how great, because Elected became a little bit more
popular
and usable.
Yes, exactly. Than Reflected.
It's been used in Lord knows how many campaigns since then.
That's right. And which is funny, because you wouldn't think of anyone in politics using an Alice Cooper song.
No.
You know, because he wouldn't seem like the person that you would want to hit your wagon to as a social servant. Is that even a word? No. I don't know. Civil servant.
Social servant.
You know what I'm talking
That's
about.
It's completely different.
Okay, and this is from the second Alice Cooper group album called Easy Action. This is called Refrigerator Heaven.
I'm freezing, I'm frozen, I'm icicle blue. Cyber cool. Cyber neurotic technicians and you.
Psychedelic than later stuff.
Yeah, but it's also a reflection of songs that came later, like in Welcome to My Nightmare, Cold Ethel.
Yeah.
She, you know, it's Cold Ethel. See you in refrigerator heaven.
Yeah, there's a
You're
lot.
You're cool. You're ice. So, I mean, he has a thing with cold things.
Yeah, as much as I'm not really a fan of these first two albums. Mm-hmm. They're really weird and they're very psychedelic, but there's so many elements in these first two albums that, like you said, appear in other songs later. But if I would have heard this album in 1969, it would have been five. So I would have hated it.
You would have hated it.
But if I would have listened to if these would have been my first introduction to Alice Cooper, I wouldn't have thought I would ever like him.
Nor me, because neither one of those was my first introduction.
No.
But it was when I went back and I saw the similarities to other songs he did later.
Right.
That I was like, oh, look at that. It was like the genesis of this song that became such a hit later. And how crazy is that? You can't do that these days.
No, no.
You know, there's no Beyonce or anybody that's doing a song 12 years ago that comes back in another form later.
Right. No, it's not. It's not done.
No, if you don't do great your first album, forget about it.
Yeah. So I can respect those first two albums, but I'm not that big a fan of those first two albums.
Well, this, I think the third album, Love It to Death, was when he got traction the world.
And hooked up with Bob Ezrin.
Yes. And Bob Ezrin was I think, what helped catapult his music.
We did one of our topics once was third albums, how important sometimes third albums are, like Born to Run and Tom Petty's Damn the Torpedoes. And there's just a million where the third album was like, that's the big breakout. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Love It to Death. So I have we have quite a few tracks. Let's hear. I picked a song that is called Caught in a Dream because everyone knows the hits.
Mm-hmm.
So let's throw these listeners something they might never have heard. Cue this one. And so much better produced, too.
In his voice.
Yeah.
Is now Alice's voice.
Right.
Then I was living, but you can't really tell.
It's like that signature Alice sound. develops right there.
Right
to me.
There. Yeah,
I think
right.
The first two albums before, it doesn't sound like he sounds now.
No, it's hippy dippy trippy stuff.
But this became, I think he found his place.
Yeah.
And that sound has carried on throughout all of the years.
And Alice Cooper, he sings like, there's like three different ways he sings. When he sings those ballads, his voice is kind of, it's not, doesn't have that right, like this.
Right.
He, like, there's a couple different things that he can do. Mm-hmm. It's all Alice Cooper. Mm-hmm. It's all different. But that's what I like, too. I like these singers that can change their voice up a little bit. That's why I like Robin Zander from Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah.
He totally can change his voice up. But let's hit a couple of the big hit songs on this album. Let's hear I'm 18. Which Bob Ezrin thought they were singing I'm Edgy.
Right. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Face and hands, lines form from the ups and downs. I'm in the middle without any plans. I'm a boy and I'm a man. I'm 18 and I don't know what I want. 18, I just don't know what I want. 18, I gotta get away.
Now, what would you rather hear now? Do you want to hear Is It My Body or The Ballad of Dwight Fry?
Well, Is It My Body is my very favorite Alice Cooper song.
Well, then we have to hear that one.
Yeah. But Ballad of Dwight Fry, I think people, I would just suggest that they listen to that on their own. Go find it somewhere online because it's a very complex song. And
yeah.
It's long and it's deep and it's a really awesome song. And it really is sort of a, you know, autobiographical song of Alice, I think. You
and
know?
It's creepy.
And it's creepy. So I suggest people can listen to that one on their own. Okay. But this is my favorite Alice Cooper song of all time.
Here we go.
What have I got that makes you want to love me? Is it my body? Someone I might be. Something inside me. You better
This album was released in February 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And then that same year, we get Killer in November 71. I used to like that too when bands would release two albums in one year.
In one year,
that's
crazy. I know.
They'd be touring, release an album, keep touring, another album comes out, keep touring. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And this one's full of hits too.
It is full of hits. This says Under My Wheels, Be My Lover, Desperado, Dead Babies, which Lisa had on a list, and I go, that song creeps me out too much. I got to remove that song.
I was so young. Let's see, 71. I was 9, but I think I probably started, it was about 10 when I liked him. But the fact that that song Dead Babies resonated with me for some reason,
it's really weird.
Really freaks me out, and I'm not sure why, because it's a really bad song. You know, little Betty ate a pound of aspirin. She got it from the shelf upon the raw.
Yeah.
Betty's mother wasn't there to save her. She didn't even hear Betty call.
Well, this is the thing. When he gets when he gets creepy, he sings about like real stuff.
Yeah.
That probably has happened. That could happen.
Yeah.
You know, your kid gets a hold of something, eats it, and dies.
Yeah.
Let's write a pop song.
Weird is that?
It's very strange. But let's give you, from Killer, let's hear, this is one of my favorites, Be My Lover.
One of mine too, Pat.
I love this because he says his own name in it.
I know. And he says Detroit City.
That's true.
She struts into the room. Well, I don't know her. But with a magnifying glance, I just sort of look her over. We have a drink or two. Well, maybe three. Story. She says, baby, if you wanna be my lover, you better take me home.
we didn't get to the part where she asked me why the singer's name was Alice, right. But I love this song.
That is funny, right? And I told her that I came from Detroit City, and I'd always go, woo, me too.
And he doesn't change that up when he goes other places. He doesn't say, he doesn't throw another city in.
No,
there,
but I've
he?
Heard sometimes, yes, I've heard him sometimes use another city.
Depending
yeah,
on
and it really
is.
Bums me out because yeah. I'm all up there like with the You're, I told her that I came from Detroit City
Cincinnati.
And then he's all of a sudden going Cincinnati.
Boo.
Right? And then I'm like, no.
That's so funny. When I was a kid, 8th grade, 9th grade, and I would listen to Alice Cooper or Kiss, my parents thought that it was the worst sounding crap out there. When you listen to Be My Lover, it's got a nice guitar there.
Right.
It's
good music.
I know, but back then it was like, this is evil devil music. And it's like so passive now.
Right.
Was it just because how they looked?
Maybe it was how they looked.
I think it was how they looked and maybe his stage thing, but maybe the words Be My Lover.
Yeah, maybe
like
that
that's
was...
dirty. I was just listening to speaking of Beyonce, I brought Beyonce up three times.
Yeah,
and trust
she's
me,
coming
I don't
in.
Why.
She's going to be in here in about
is
5
she
minutes.
Be coming?
Yeah.
She's our special guest.
Well, that'd be crazy.
But she's got a new song out with, what's her face? Nicki Minaj.
Uh-huh.
And one of my friends on Facebook posted it was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is the best. So I'm like, I got to listen to this, right?
Okay.
You know, I work for the Grammys. I should be a little bit hip on the music.
Hipper. Yeah.
You know, even though I do jazz, which is, you know, not in the pop realm. But
by the way, people, jazz is five guys all playing something different. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I start listening to this song and I'm like, it's all about, you know, spanking and stuff and this and that. And I'm like, whoa. You take a song like Be My,
My Lover,
nothing compared to music. These are two girls singing a song. That's all, you know, ho and this and that. And it's like, and why people like that music, I'm not sure. It's not resonating with me.
No,
I'm not
it doesn't
thinking,
resonate with me either.
I don't have like a, oh yeah, that hits me here. You know, it reminds me of whatever.
I know it doesn't, it's not something that's like, oh, that song's going to take me back to when I was a hoe.
Yeah, no, there's a guy named Molly Music. Have you heard of this guy?
I've not heard of Molly Music.
You would love him. He started as a gospel guy. We just had him at our office, working, but he talks about that where he tries to bring back he just said little R&B, hip hop sort of influence in his music and gospel, definitely, but trying to bring back the good message to the kids,
right?
Not just the bad words. And we heard him at our office. He sings ballads. He's great. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But
let's move. I'm going to move to Schools Out because this is an anthem. This song, even my kids know this song, Schools Out. Everyone knows the title track. Let's hear some of it.
Those guitars, come on.
I know, it's crazy.
When we got no choice, all the girls and boys.
And it so makes sense that you would go,
yeah,
kids hate school,
right?
Let's write a song about school being out for the summer,
right?
Well, we can't salute you, can't find a flag. If that don't suit you, that's a drag.
Used to play this on the last day of school. We'd put the cassette in our and roll down the windows and drive out of the parking lot like a bunch of hooligans, which
right.
we weren't.
And
we're
he, like, I know, but you're like,
radical. Yeah.
But then kids did it. And here's the thing, because I think this is probably one of his most popular songs. It's
absolutely
stood the test of time. And somebody had once asked him what inspired him to write this song.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when answering the question, what's the greatest 3 minutes of your life? Somebody said. And then Alice said, there's two times during the year. One is Christmas morning when you're just getting ready to open the presents. The greed factor is right there. The next one is the last 3 minutes of the last day of school when you're
waiting.
Sitting there and it's like a slow fuse burning. I said, if we can catch that 3 minutes in a song, it's going to be so big.
They did it, and they did it in 3 minutes
and 30
seconds.
I mean, because remember that feeling? It's like, oh my gosh, in 3 minutes, I'm going to have nothing to do.
I don't know why we just didn't get up and leave. They weren't going to do anything
to
you.
What can they do to you?
We're out.
You have detention next year. Okay.
Okay. Lisa, you also picked another song off this album called Gutter Cat Versus the Jets. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Perfect to lie in a day.
don't know if you've ever heard any of Gilby Clark's solo stuff, but that song always reminds me of like something Gilby should have covered if he hasn't yet.
Tell him.
I know, I should tell him.
When he's at a barbecue at your house. Call him on your phone and tell him. He's in your Rolodex.
He's in my Rolodex.
So we jumped to 73 with Billion Dollar Babies, which I think is one of the albums that people would put up there as one of the top.
Oh, yeah.
Alice
and
Cooper
so
albums.
Many good songs on this one.
Hello, Hooray, Elected, Billion Dollar Babies, No More Mr. Nice Guy. We're not going to play any of those. We're going to play a little deeper in this. We're going to play Unfinished Sweet.
Love the song.
And Sweet is S-W-E-E-T.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Band is just so good. Everything about it is good. The guitars, the drumming, everything just sounds like they're working as a unit.
Right. It's really good. And later in that song, I don't know, there's a Dennis drill that comes in and it's like, he's screaming and the Dennis drill is like, zzz, 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 and I would always like,
Yeah. So Eddie Van Halen,
so cool.
Eddie Van Halen, who uses a power drill on Pound
right.
Cake.
Yes.
We had a drill way back in 1973.
It was the Dennis drill.
Yeah, well. I'm going to say Eddie Van Halen stole that.
I think so.
All right. Let's hear a Generation Landslide from Billion Dollar Babies. Another Lisa pick. Another
this
great
is,
song.
I love this song. This is a great
the load above can see ya. Don't you know people are starving in Korea? Alcohol and razor blades and poison and needles. Kindergarten people, they used them, they need them. The overindulgent machines were their children. There wasn't a way down on earth here to cool them. Cause they look just like humans. And Chris Gaze or Woolworth. But decadent brains were at work to destroy. Rats in battalions were ruling the street scene. Generation Landslide, close the gap.
So we've had four albums in a row produced by Bob Ezrin, who you would say is the sixth member of the Alice Cooper
I would
band.
Say, right.
And then we cut to 1973. And again, two albums in 73, Billion Dollar Babies in February, and then Muscle of Love in November. And Muscle of Love is produced with a guy named Jack Richardson and a guy named Jack Douglas. So Jack Douglas worked with Aerosmith and Cheap Trick. And now we're going to see what he can do when he works with the Alice Cooper band. And let's hear, I got three songs here. We got, let's hear the first one, Never Been Sold Before, which is a song that I just rediscovered in preparing for the show. So let's hear it, Never Been Sold Before. Sounds a little fatter.
Yeah, it's a little different. You can tell the difference between it.
It's a little, I think the Bob Ezrin stuff is a little maybe pop rocky.
It is more poppy.
This is a little heavier.
It's a little different. And do you know Jack Douglas? Do you know that he did a lot of work with John Lennon too?
Yeah, he produced the Double Fantasy.
Yeah.
And lots of stuff.
And Imagine and...
worked with the Knack.
Yep,
the
and
Knack
I think
album.
He had done... I don't know why I'm thinking he was with them when John Lennon...
He was. I think he was
with them, right? Yeah. When John Lennon was killed.
I think they had just left the studio and then killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, little trivia.
A little trivia. Jack Douglas, big in music. Let's hear... let's do a double shot then. Let's hear the title track, Muscle of Love, and then go into Teenage Lament 74.
Queen of the locker room, who's the cream of the crop? Or do it to
Also, this is how big Alice Cooper is at that time. Unique packaging on this album. It comes in a corrugated cardboard box.
Yeah, cool, right?
And it looks, and it says, this carton, it says, attention, this carton contains one Alice Cooper Muscle of Love. It says Fragile. And then it's like, it has like, it looks like something was leaking in there. It's mm-hmm. like wet at the bottom. It's uh-huh. really... It's
it was,
really,
it was really cool packaging.
It's really cool. It's kind of yeah. gross. It's
yeah, it was really awesome.
And now let's listen to
he's always been like, he's always just a trendsetter, you know?
Yeah, and pushing it a little bit. Let's mm-hmm. do this. Let's do that. Let's try, I love this song, Teenage Lament, 1974.
What a drag it is, these golden men jeans.
See, this is that other Alice voice. Mm-hmm.
Is this the coolest way to get through your teens? Well, I cut my hair with that it was in. I looked like a rooster that was drowned in red skin. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Why don't you get away? I'm going to live today.
So that was from Muscle of Love. Then what happens is 1975, Alice Cooper is now, it's not the band anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's now Alice Cooper is Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, right.
This is a solo album now. He's gone solo.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of the band, which is weird because there's such a, unless there was infighting or stuff I don't, have not read about, he just wanted to do something different.
I think it, yeah, I think he just wanted to go a different way and explore this, which was, you know, he's very big on, you know, horror movies
yes.
and vaudeville mm-hmm. and the craziness of that. And I think this project gave him a chance to express that side of him.
Yep. This was a movie. It was an album.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, there still was a band involved because a band played on
right,
it.
Right, right. But just more session type people.
Yeah. And he was more a character.
Yes.
In this play.
So yeah, definitely Welcome to My Nightmare. It's much more theatrical. As we are saying, he becomes like the focal point and the centerpiece, and he's definitely more of a character.
Mm-hmm.
And then this carries over into the next album too, I think, with Alice Cooper Goes to Hell. So let's hear Go to Hell. And then, so Lace and Whiskey, I'm not a big fan of that. You said, we've talked before, you said that you are, you do like this album.
Oh, I love this album because I love It's Hot Tonight. He's a character in this,
yes.
You know, he's like the, you know, detective
hard boiled
40s detective yeah. guy. And
the picture on the album cover is great. His hair's like all, if it's long, it's all tucked back.
Yeah,
so it's
like,
it just looks
like it's short and he's got the hat on. And
yep.
I think, again, he loves those old movies
mm-hmm.
and this is just a version of him that
right.
he wishes he could be.
And this has a gigantic hit with You and Me.
Such a pretty song.
It is beautiful, but we're going to play a song Lisa likes a lot called It's Hot Tonight.
It's hot tonight. Too hot for talking. It's hot tonight.
Okay, now, after this is the last Bob Ezrin album for a while, and this is when Alice's career gets crazy, gets different, gets more drug-induced.
Yes.
And so we're going to, Lace and Whiskey was 1977, we go to 1978, and he's going to work with producer David Foster.
Isn't that the weirdest combination
of
two?
That is the weirdest. I mean, you would think of David Foster, he's like a soft rock producer.
Yeah, and I think of him, now I'm thinking of current day David Foster, who keeps working with all of the, you know, these little pop stars.
And,
he
works with Barbra Streisand,
Celine
Dion,
right.
And then he, you know, a couple years after this Alice Cooper album, he produced all the big 80s Chicago hits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so to work with David Foster, maybe that was the most rock and roll thing he could think of to do.
Yeah.
He also writes these songs. All the songs are written with Elton John's lyricist, mm-hmm. Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin. They were friends. And did you see Super Duper Alice Cooper?
I just watched it a couple weeks ago. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
And the Bernie Taupin had quite a role in Alice Cooper,
drugs?
In his cocaine addiction.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Bernie.
Yeah. And I don't even, who thinks about that? I think of Bernie Taupin and I think of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road and all these things. I don't want to know that Bernie Taupin's doing the cocaine.
No, Bernie, come on. But so this album, this is a concept album. It's about being in the loony bin.
Mm-hmm.
And let's listen to the title track. Let's listen to From the Inside.
I got lost on the road somewhere. Was it Texas or was it Canada? Drinking whiskey in the morning light. And I worked the stage all night long. First we laughed about it, my long-haired drunken friends proposed a toast to Jimmy's ghost. I never dreamed that I would wind up on the losing end. I'm stuck here on the inside looking out. I'm just another case. Where's my mate?
So also lots of studio musicians on this band, on this album. He's got Steve Lukather. He's got Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, Davey Johnstone from the mm-hmm. Elton John band. He's got guys from Toto. He's got Dee Murray from the Elton John band, Lee Sklar on bass.
It's loaded
Jim
with
Keltner
like really amazing musicians.
It is. And,
but it's not one of my favorite albums, oddly enough. And I like all the people that are on it. So yeah. I'm not...
I know.
I don't know why it's not connecting with me. But.
It's different. It's mm-hmm. not. It's more. It is mellower.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it has songs like this one. Let's hear Wish I Was Born in Beverly Hills. This album might sound too slick for you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too slick.
I like it dirtier.
Yeah, that's what I think. Just drool down in a barrel with dog poop. That's how dirty she gets. Let me hear the chorus. That's pretty good. Lisa hates this album.
I don't hate it.
I know.
I like that song. I like that song.
I know that is good. It has, yeah. and you liked Nurse Rosetta.
Yeah.
And you told me
Steve Lukather plays on that. And I love Steve. He's a friend of ours too.
Oh, of course he is. Jesus Christ. Friend. Here we go. He likes to talk, doesn't he?
Steve loves to talk. He's been on tour a lot. When he comes back, he's been, playing with Ringo and with Toto this year.
His nickname's Luke. Isn't that what
Luke,
the guy
that's what they call
in
him.
The, I would like to talk to him.
Luke.
I'll have to talk to you about that. Okay, so then the next album is a new wave album, Flush the Fashion.
Yes.
Roy Thomas Baker, who worked with The Cars and Queen and Journey and Foreigner, he produces this album. The album's 28 minutes and 29 seconds. And Roy Thomas Baker likes to do a thing where he crossfades songs. So literally, there's not like a break between hardly any of these songs. They just like fade right into the next song. And Alice still pulls a hit out of this, a minor mm-hmm. hit with a song called Clones.
I'm a clone, I'm good and I'm fine. I'm losing more of the way. I'm Soup Doctor, he's on the line. We'll take incubation another day. I'm for the lonesome rodeo. We're all clones, all the one and one are all the one and one are all.
It was a perfect song for that time.
Like yeah,
it's good. They really did a good job of melding into that era.
I love this. I love this whole album, to be mm-hmm. honest. Flo and Eddie sing background vocals on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Flo's wife, Emily Volman, was here once. She was my guest co-host. Emily Volman, yeah. And here's a song I like. This is one of those evil, creepy songs called Pain.
Fracture in your twisted car. the face and to tread with the ball. And on the red side of the suicide star.
All right, now the next three albums. These are the lost years. These are the albums that Alice, I think, admits that he doesn't even remember recording them.
Mm-hmm.
And those albums are Special Forces, mm-hmm. Zipper Catches Skin, and Dada. And
it's probably why I got lost, too.
Yeah,
he didn't even know he was recording them.
It's funny. He's still on Warner Brothers Records because mm-hmm. at that time, if you build up so much goodwill in the past, they let you... Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he knows what he's doing. But he's working with people like, you know, he just got done working with Bernie Taupin and David Foster and Bob Ezrin. Now he's working with people I don't even know. Like the guy who produced Special Forces is named Richard Podolor. I can't even pronounce it.
I don't know who that is either.
No, but as uneven as these records are, they still have a couple of gems on each one. So let's just fly through these. Let's hear from Special Forces. We're going to hear Who Do You Think We Are? And then we're going to hear, because Alice has a great sense of humor, we're going to hear a song called Prettiest Cop on the Block. So let's go with Who Do We Think We Are.
I'm carnivorous. Can't count the flesh that I've been through. Never sick of this. I'm red and white and black and blue. I'm always there when you think I'm not. I'm really sharp and I'm white and hot. My finger squeezes up the final. Do you think we are Special Forces in an armored car? Who do you think we are? We don't care. We don't care.
And now let's hear, and I think he was trying to keep a little bit of the new wavy sound because it's mm-hmm. very tinny, very trebly. There's not... It almost sounds like just guitar and drums.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I love this song. This is a funny song. This is Prettiest Cop on the Block.
I'm 6'3" with a fist like a hammer. And I work with the vice squad when I can. When I pull out my badge, they forget all my glamour. Little guys all surprised, take a seat to me. It's a first, I'm the man. I'm the prettiest cop on the block. I set your shoes on fire. Yes, I'm the prettiest cop on the block. I'm cool and I'm so mean. Oh, I'm the prettiest cop on the block. I can't come your desire. I got a stiff reputation with a stick like a rock. But it's a food that my wife is in shock. I'm a full-blooded man.
My kids are confused and my wife is in shock.
It rhymes.
Yes, it does. And then this is from Zipper Catches Skin. This is called Adaptable.
If you were Lucy, I'd be your Ricky. When you get juicy, I'd get real sticky.
Oh.
And when you're magic, it makes
again,
me sticky.
It rhymes.
Yeah. Great chorus coming up there.
Yeah, I'm a Sony, the Panasonic. I'm heavy metal, the Philharmonic. With your earaches, I turn my volume down. I'm not your tune for you. Cause I will do anything for you. Anything you want me to. I'm so adaptable to you. Was untrappable to you.
So there's footage in Super Duper Alice Cooper, and you can also see it on YouTube, of him from this time period on the Tom Snyder Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so great.
But he looks horrific.
I know.
He's got his hair's like up on top of his head in chopsticks. His makeup, it looks like he just put his hands in makeup and then just ran it over his face.
But
like,
that was during his bad period.
His really bad period.
He was really bad drugs and he was a little crazy.
Should have died. Should have died.
Right.
But he didn't. But
it's so funny to think of him that way because now he's so squeaky clean and
golf
dad and golfer and religious. I can't even fathom him being really drunk. Like I, I think of it as like he was just playing another part.
It's I'm not a big religious guy, but it's almost like he reached out and said to God, because he's religious, mm-hmm. and said, "You need to help me. Mm-hmm. I'm putting myself in your hands." Mm-hmm. And he got clean.
Yeah.
Because his wife leaves in the documentary. His wife leaves with, I think, assume Calico.
Calico, yeah.
And says, "We can't live with this. She can't be around this. You have to get straight up, mm-hmm. or we're done." And that must have been the wake up call,
right?
That he needed.
Yeah.
And he did. But before he did, he recorded another album with Bob Ezrin called Dada, and it's got a song on here that is so creepy. It's called Former Lee Warmer. Or if you say it, formerly warmer.
Yeah, formerly.
But listen, it's about a guy that lives upstairs in this house. Lady, hear this creepness. Creepness isn't even a word.
It is now.
Creepness.
In an upstairs room, under lock and key.
It's like from a John Carpenter soundtrack.
It's my brother, formerly. All the mops and brooms keep him company. Misconceived of the family.
Misconceived of the family. Ooh. I'm getting just creeped out.
Formerly warmer pulls up the covers to hide in his wrinkled bed. No dreams go in.
Maybe they killed him. That's what I think happened. I think his brother...
Somebody shot him. There's a hole in his head.
I think his brother might have had... Have been born with issues. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like maybe he was... What do I want to say? He was... Now they would call him special needs.
Right.
And I think the family couldn't deal with that. And so I think they killed him and they stuck him up in the attic. And everyone thinks he's just still up there. And maybe they even tell this younger brother, "Yeah, your brother, he's upstairs. He's fine."
But right.
The brother sneaks up sometimes and takes a peek at what's going on up there. And he's all wrinkled because he's decaying.
And no dreams come in or out.
No, because he's dead.
Because he's dead and he's formerly warmer.
So creepy. And then one more quick from this. This is called No Man's Land, but it has that creepy song. And then he gets one of these again, one of these. Playing Santa because the suit fit.
Funny shopping, little sticky kids were hopping on my lap with the fingers in my beard. I guess they thought that I was really here. She sat down on my lap and said to me, "I'm 23 and I need someone. You look like someone who can play with me."
So then after Dada, he gets clean and he's gone. He's gone for 3 years. And then he gets signed onto MCA Records,
mm-hmm.
gets a song in one of the Friday the 13th films called, the song's called Man Behind the Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And he releases an album called Constrictor. He's working with, at the time, before he was Winger, Kip Winger played bass on this album.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this guitarist called Kane Roberts, who's like a big muscle guy. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger playing guitar. And
he's still muscly.
And he just, and this is the first time Alice will perform sober.
Because mm-hmm.
in the documentary, he says, I didn't know if this character would work sober.
Right.
And it does, because he finds as soon as he gets on the stage, that's the only drug he needs to bring this character out.
Right.
And so this album is called Constrictor. It's like a heavy metal, like he was trying to fit in with what was going on in 1986, 87 mm-hmm. at the time. So let's hear a song. This is a song called Crawlin' from Constrictor.
Your dress is hanging on the hook on the door. My jeans are lying in a pile on the floor, yeah. Flat on my back trying to catch my breath. When we were rocking tonight, I thought that we were gonna rock to death. But what's that?
And he works with producer Bo Hill, who worked with Rat and a bunch of metal bands. of that time period. And then the follow-up to that was also on MCA. It's called Raise Your Fist and Yell. And he works with Michael Wagoner as producer, who produced Skid Row. Mm-hmm. So he's totally embracing, hey, look, I want to get some, metal, I want to get airplay. So this is what I have to do. So you picked a song off here called Gale.
Yeah, it was co-written by Kip Winger.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And it's creepy, right?
Yeah, it is.
You know, Kip right now is doing like opera. He wrote an opera. He's a friend of ours too.
That guy's too good looking to be around.
He's good looking.
He is good looking. Mm-hmm. I don't want
He's really nice though. He's,
See, that's
we I'd could rather, get Kip Winger on your show.
I'd rather have him be a dick. I don't need him.
I mean, he doesn't quite look like the Playgirl days anymore.
Right.
But he's good looking.
He got this guy like him and Bon Jovi. They just get all the
Bon Jovi good looking.
He's crazy good looking. He's an egomaniac though.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. Like, I don't know him in person. I think Mick Jagger is good looking, and I know everybody else would go.
Mick Jagger, 2014 Mick Jagger.
Yeah, there's something about him. Mm-hmm. I would.
Teddy's good looking.
I would, Mick Jagger.
Your husband's good looking. He's got good looking, Teddy's yeah. got He's good the looking. Greatest hair.
He
in
has
the
more
world.
Hair than any man.
He
his
can
age. Wear,
he can do pompadour, he can dreadlock it, he can do all these things.
He's got a lot of hair. That's right. A Greek.
Let's listen to Little Gale. Not Little Gale, it's called Gale.
A tree has grown on the spot where her body did rest.
What death.
Yeah.
In this.
Blood seeped in the soil from the knife in her chest.
I mean.
Lovely.
Well, the other guy had a hole in his head.
Yeah.
Of time in her skeletal jail. I wonder how the bugs remember Gale.
I mean, that's kind of weird, right?
That's very weird.
It's weird, but I like it.
And then here's a flip side of that. This is a song I love on this album. This is called Give the Radio Back.
Hey, teacher, what you trying to do? I'm getting tired living in this zoo. You slap my face and you knock me down. You beat my head right in the ground. I never ever felt this way before. I can't take it no more. So give the radio. Yeah, give the radio back. Yeah, give the radio back. To the main.
So Alice is coming back. He's gaining an audience again. And then in 1989, it all clicks again, I think. To me, this is the big comeback.
Well, yeah, because I think then he became sort of a, now he's seen Alice Cooper cultural icon.
Yes, he's iconic
now. And they embrace that.
They embrace him. And all the people that that have come after him, like your Bon Jovi's and they didn't come after him, but I mean, like, everyone wants to work on this album. Mm-hmm. Joe Perry and Steven Tyler and Steve Lukather and Richie Sambora, all these people come out. It's produced by Desmond Child, and the album's called Trash, and he has a gigantic hit with this song called Poison.
Your cruel device, your blood. Like ice.
Also another Cold Ethel sort of reference in this.
Yep.
My pain, your thrill.
Still plays the song in concert.
I wanna hold you, but my senses tell me to stop. I wanna kiss you, but I want it too much, too much.
And he just keeps riding that train. And the next album to follow that up was Hey Stupid. And let's hear a little bit of Feed My Frankenstein.
Well, I ain't evil. I'm just good looking. Starting the fire. Being a star cooking. I'm a hungry man. But I don't want pizza. I'll blow down your house. And then I'm gonna eat ya. Bring you to a simmer, right on time.
This set, what'd you say?
Murray wanted me to tell everyone that that was on in Wayne's World.
Yes, Murray, we know that. That's why Murray's not here right now. And the people that are on this album, Slash is on it, Ozzy,
everybody,
Joe
yeah.
Satriani, Steve Vai, Nikki Sixx, Mick Mars, Vinnie Moore from UFO. Songs are co-written with Desmond Child. I mean,
that's a crazy lineup.
It's a crazy lineup.
Good.
Of good stuff, exactly. I want to get to, I don't know, oh, there's so many songs. How many songs? We've played 36 songs. Right
wow,
now,
we have
like
already?
We have. We
How
got
long
it.
Have we been here? 6 days?
You've been here 6 days. You think it's overload for the listener at home? Are they over? should we skip any? I don't want to skip Brutal Planet. I don't want to skip Dragon Town because Teddy plays on this album.
Do a little, okay, well, you know, Lost in America. Well, it's hard to tell.
Play Lost in America. This is the album that followed Hey Stupid. This is an album
do a little of this and
Last
then...
Temptation. Then we'll go into the heavier stuff.
And then I swear we'll be done.
Yeah, this is a great song, though. Lost in America.
I can't get a girl because I ain't got a car. I can't get a car because I ain't got a job. Oh, I can't get a job because I ain't got a car. So I'm looking for a girl with a job and a car. Don't you know where you are?
Lost in America, lost in America, lost in America, lost.
When I heard this song, when the song came on the radio before the album came out, I went fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is, when can I get it? I need this. And then for me, the album's a little uneven. But the songs yeah. I love. Like, I love Sideshow.
Yeah, it's a good
when
song.
When we saw him at the House of Blues, he opened mm-hmm. with that. I love It's Me, which was co-written with Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades. Lost in America is amazing. I mean, it's got some great songs, but as an album, it doesn't work for me. But I still like...
Well, there's a couple good ones on there. Can't have all hits. Can't have all hits.
No. I mean, it just a song just like Lost in America is just crazy good.
Yeah, it's a really good song.
But so now 2000, he takes a long time off between... It's 94 to 2000. Mm-hmm. I think that's his biggest break between albums.
Yeah.
And he comes back with... What do you call this? This is really heavy. These two albums are really heavy. Brutal Planet and Dragon Town. But what do you, is this, it's not industrial metal, but kind of. What would you call it?
Post-apocalyptic metal. I made that up.
But it's super heavy.
Yeah, it is.
And this is the first tour that...
I wasn't a big fan of it, frankly. But yeah. It is the first tour that my husband played with Alice.
And Eric Singer's on drums on this album and on tour. And, God, I love that Eric.
It was a good stage show. I mean, the show was good. He always does really good staging and stuff.
And didn't Teddy have his hair blonde at that point?
Oh, punked please. Up? That was horrible. He shouldn't have. He looked like Ethel Merman. He should never have his hair blonde.
That's funny. Let's hear the title track. Let's hear Brutal Planet. It's heavy.
We're only human. We were born to die. Without the benefit of reason why. We live for pleasure to be satisfied. And now it's over, there's no place to hide. Why don't you come down to... It's such a brutal planet. It's such an ugly world. Why won't you come down to...
And then a year later, he's got Dragon Town, and Lisa picked this one, Sex, Death, and Money.
Because what else is there?
Right.
It's to titillate the brain, stimulate the...
Hopefully not in that order, though.
No.
As I said, for 3 hours, it was mental cruelty. I was so shocked. Just a little more flesh, just a little more blood. To the edge, a little deeper in the mud. I'll never be the same. Sex, death, and money, sonny, makes this wicked world go round.
And then we're going to move. We're just moving along. We're just chugging along now. Was Teddy on the Eyes of Alice Cooper tour also?
Yes.
Oh, he's
and
on the
he
album
played
too.
On this album. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He
keyboards, percussion, accordion on the song that didn't rhyme. He plays accordion.
Yeah, I know, right?
So you got an accordion at your house?
Oh, we have like 5 accordions.
That's too many.
That's enough for a
we'll
Greek.
Come over. Is he out of town? Let's go to eat. We'll go. I'm going to come over there.
We'll just have we'll a polka
eBay.
Party.
We'll just put him on eBay.
Oh.
You know Weird Al is going to come over and buy those.
The next time Teddy leaves, I would love for you to come over and we just have a big eBay clearance sale because I got so much crap in our house.
Weird Al has 5 accordions.
I know. You know, he probably doesn't.
Teddy loves buying accordions on eBay, by the way.
Like, he just buys his own.
What if we list one? He just buys his own. Accordion.
He wouldn't even know.
I used to have one.
He
like
wouldn't
that.
Know.
2003. Teddy's on this album. I love this. This is one of my favorite Alice Cooper albums. I tout this.
Really?
I love it. I love the eyes of Alice Cooper.
Interesting.
So let's. I love his eyes too. I love the old black eyes. But let's listen to. We're gonna hear Novocaine, and then Lisa, of course.
You gotta hear
Detroit City.
Please, we gotta hear Detroit City. It's a good way to wrap it up too.
When I was 10. Fell out of
someone
bed.
Wants to leave.
Got 3 stitches in my head. It hurt like hell. I saw the blood. I felt the pain. I'd like to feel it once again. 'Cause I don't feel it.
Okay, tell you what we're going to do. We will play the show out with Detroit City. But I want to touch, then he had Dirty Diamonds, which mm-hmm. was a pretty good album. Along Came a Spider was a concept album about mm-hmm. a serial killer, which had some good tracks on, but didn't hold up that well for me. But I do want to play 2 tracks off of his most recent CD called Welcome to My Nightmare with
my
the number
nightmare.
2.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sequel.
Clever.
And again, I'm going to play a song that's funny, Alice Cooper, and then I'm going to play a song that's really, really dark. And the song that's really dark has members of the original Alice Cooper band on it.
Yeah.
They played like on 3 tracks on this
album.
Well,
this is when they kind of came together, and then he did the whole, because, you know, right around this time was the induction into the Hall of Fame.
So that
band was, you know, getting recognition at that time. And by the way, let me just add, one of the reasons why I think I liked Alice Cooper from the very beginning, mm-hmm. funny.
Yes.
His songs are really funny, and I always saw the irony and the humor in everything that he sang, and that's pretty cool for a little kid.
Yeah.
And parents never understood it.
No.
Maybe.
But you did at 10.
At 10, I saw the humor.
This, the humor's right here front and center on a song called Ghouls Gone Wild.
We're gonna have a bash, and we're glad you finally got here. Trashed and the band is really hot, yeah. We're gonna dance our heads up and we're gonna keep it tight. If we keep ourselves together, we might make it through the night. Ghouls gone wild, wilder than before. We had a little taste and now we need a little more.
I wish the original why doesn't the original Alice Cooper band tour just like James Taylor and Carole King did? With when they did their Troubadour tour with the original band, that would be
pretty cool.
So amazing.
Well, one of them is sort of like missing in action. I think is it Dennis?
Well, let's find him.
But like, you know, when they did the we saw Alice speak when he did the Super Duper Alice Cooper evening.
Yeah.
And other people, like, you know, because people in the movie gave little cameos.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one was missing. Oh, why am I thinking it's Dennis? They're like, he's missing in action. I think he just wants to go do his own thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he would want to do the tour, but. Maybe. I hope I'm not misquoting who
That's
it is.
Okay.
But
we'll look
whatever.
At it. Okay, this song, the original Alice Cooper band plays on this. This is about a bad dad. This is about a bad husband. And the song's called When Hell Comes Home. So when this guy's out drinking,
it's bad news,
it's
baby.
It's bad news when he comes home. So let's hear a little bit of When Hell Comes Home.
Mommy says that everything is fine. All the time. She always makes excuses, but I know that she is lying. Mommy says that everything is fine. That's just the way it is. He's evil to the bone. Mommy says that everything is fine. That's just the way it is when we're left alone. 'Cause that's when hell
come on.
I know. When I heard that song, too, in the car when I first got the CD, I'm, you know, Ghouls Gone Wild, a couple fun songs, a couple rocking songs. I'm like, oh, boy, he can still do it to me.
He's got to throw a bad guy in there.
I know. He really does. Lisa, where can we find you? I know you were in the middle of writing a book, or you finished your book.
I just finished it.
So what happens? Where's this
book going?
Sending
it out. Well, I have it out to a few people right now just to give me a first sort of opinion on it. And then I'm going to do my final edits and then sending it on to some people. So
do you have a book deal?
Not yet, but my book is about, just really quick, it's called 14 Days, and yes, it's about my mom's last 14 mm-hmm. days. And I used to work with Mitch Albom
yes.
for many years.
That guy's written a couple books that people like.
He's written a couple
like.
Of
yeah.
books, just a couple, 45 million, no big deal. And, you know, he's like the king of the death genre.
Yeah.
So he has offered to help me.
Okay, cool.
So I'm
that should be
that
a lot of
brings
help
something. He did the foreword for my book.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure not an easy book to write.
No, it wasn't. But I mean, there's funny parts in it, too.
Sure,
it's not
of
just,
course.
It's you know.
Yeah, because you're funny.
Yeah, so was my mom. She was really funny.
Yeah, and I love the picture. I love the fist bump picture.
Fist bump picture. I love it. I'm hoping they'll let me use that on my cover. But I talked to one publisher who was interested, but they didn't want to use that as the cover.
Why not?
I was sullied to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm sort of insistent that somehow be... And he's like, that's not what, you know, that's not a cover of a book.
Yeah,
I'm
you
like,
think you think Alice Cooper let people tell him not like, what to
yeah,
put on his album cover?
And I'm like, I'd rather self-publish than not let me use this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
I agree with you.
It's important that I use that album.
It is important. Mm-hmm. That picture tells a lot.
That picture
just
tells
the
whole story of those 14 days.
Yeah.
You know, and he couldn't see that. So I'm like, okay, then you're not for me.
And well, when that book comes out, please let us know, and
okay.
I'll know because you'll post about it, and I'll talk about it. And
LisaGoitsch.com. That's my.
And you're not on Twitter. You're not a Twitterist.
I'm on Twitter, but
what's your Twitter?
It's like
handle?
Shouting into an empty room.
What is it? What's
Lisa
Twitter?
Goitsch.
Lisa Goitsch. How'd you get that?
I don't know. It's hard to get, really. I had to buy it back from somebody.
Thank you for coming in here and talking about Alice Cooper.
Thank
and
you for having
everyone,
me to talk about Alice
everyone
Cooper.
At home, I know we hit you with so many Alice Cooper tunes, but I hope you're digging it, and I hope you go to iTunes, and I hope you buy some of these.
And
tunes.
See Super Duper Alice Cooper, because I think that'll explain the whole story. That's the perfect introduction
it
to
really
him
is.
If you don't know much
yeah,
about
and
him.
You'll love it. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us at Rock Solid Show on Twitter. You can follow Kyle at Kyle Dotson Funny. You can follow me yeah. at Pat_Francis. And go to the Facebook page and like us. Write a nice review on iTunes. Lisa, great to see you.
Pat, awesome to see you. Kyle, come on.
Nice to meet you, Kyle.
And I'm going to help you with that breakup. Don't you worry.
Terrific.
Send you a book.
Let's play us out with a song about Lisa's town, Detroit City. Do it.
Bullets fly.